During the course of Jesus' ministry, he came into contact with a lot of unique, different kinds of individuals, didn't he? He came into contact with some high-powered Jewish leaders of his day. In fact, he stood face-to-face with high priests. He also came into contact with rulers of nations. Individuals like Pilate and Herod. He came in contact also with the lowly and with the poor. He came in contact with the sick and also with the diseased. But folks, regardless of who Jesus came in contact with, every one of them had a story to tell after they met him. And this is especially true of a man about whom we'll be studying this morning. I told you on Wednesday night the title of our lesson is very simply this: Curiosity Saved the Publican. The story is found in Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 9. And if you'll turn to that particular text, we're just going to stay right there for the most part for the entirety of the study. And we're going to be looking at 7 different points in this lesson. Point number 1, the city of Jericho. Notice how the account begins. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. The same Jericho about which we studied this morning. The one where those individuals went who had had their beard shaved and had their clothes cut off. The same Jericho. Jericho was one of the oldest cities in the entirety of the world. Not only is it the oldest, or one of the oldest cities, it is also the lowest city on earth as far as its elevation is concerned, 850 feet below sea level. Folks, that's a long way down, you know it. 850 feet below sea level. There were 2 Jerichos by the time that Jesus entered into this particular city. There was the ancient Jericho, and built right beside it was what some refer to as the New Jericho. It was located among the tribe of Levi. It was 15 miles east of Jerusalem, and it was 5 miles west of the Jordan River. The meaning of the name Jericho means fragrance. Thus, we have the city of fragrance, and it is also referred to as the city of palms, and some even refer to it as the city of priests, because it was one of the places that priests would go in between the various courses that they were to serve in the city of Jerusalem. There are 5 major mentions of Jerusalem, of Jericho, in the pages of God's Word. First, when the children of Israel overthrew the city, when they marched around it those 7 days, and finally the walls of the city of Jerusalem come tumbling down. But in 2 Kings chapter 2, we read of a prophet by the name of Elisha who there purified a spring for the prophets. Another mention is the one that we're studying today. It is the city of a man by the name of Zacchaeus. We also find that it was a city wherein Jesus healed a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. And then lastly, it is mentioned in the story referred to as the Good Samaritan. But a certain man went down from Jerusalem unto Jericho and fell among thieves. It was a 25-mile stretch from Jerusalem down to Jericho. They went from 2,700 feet all the way down to 850 feet below sea level. It was a long, dangerous journey. It had to pass through one place that was referred to as the Bloody Pass. And individuals oftentimes were harmed on that pass. So Jericho, a well-known city, well-established city, old city, and now Jesus is passing through this particular place. Point number two, the chief of the publicans. Verse 2 says this, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich." There's three things that we learn about this man in this text. Number one, his name, Zacchaeus. That name is definitely a Hebrew name. Thus, it indicates that he was a Jew through and through. His name means pure or the just. It's interesting that when children were born to Hebrew women, they would try to give them names that would somehow reflect the character of the individual. Take, for instance, the name Jacob. He was known as the deceiver or the supplanter, and he was definitely that, was he not? Early on in his life as he dealt with his brother Esau. And when he changed his character, what did God do? God changed his name, did he not? Changed his name to Israel, one who fights with God and prevails. Now here we have a man by the name of Zacchaeus. His name means what? The just or the pure. And he is anything but at this particular point in time. His name did not match his character. Question, what is our name? Now what I mean by that is this. We are Christians. Aren't we? Or at least that's what we proclaim to the world to be. So the question is what? Does our name match our character? In this particular instance, it did not. Why? Because he was chief among the publicans. That little word chief means that he was a supervisor. He was an overseer. He wasn't just a publican. He was over the publicans. And folks, it was a very lucrative position and one that was hated by the Jews. You see, in order to obtain the position of a publican, you usually had to purchase the position from the Roman government, because that's the position that it was affiliated with, the government of Rome. You were there to collect taxes for the Roman government. So here's a Jew, saves and saves and saves his money in order to buy the position of a tax collector from the Roman government. When a Jew looked upon a publican, he looked upon him as if he were a traitor to Israel. And they were despised by the people. And notice too, he was what? Rich. The pay for a publican was higher than most positions in Israel. That's the reason individuals want it. I want a good paying, high dollar position, and I'll pay as much money as I need to pay in order to get it. The job was what? Collecting taxes. And oftentimes they over-collected. The IRS doesn't have that great of a reputation with some of us, does it? I don't know how many of us are really just in love with the IRS. But folks, it was even worse in the nation of Rome. These individuals would go and assume that there was a 20% marginal tax. Someone like Zacchaeus would go, he would collect the 20%, and on top of that was his fee of another 10%. So he was getting paid by Rome, plus he was making a commission on the taxes over and above the tax levied by the Roman Empire. Notice this, there was no such thing as a poor publican. And Zacchaeus was no exception. He was rich, the Bible says. Point number three, the curiosity of Zacchaeus. Notice the text. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree for to see him, for he was to pass that way. Point one, his resolve. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. Have you ever longed to put a name to a face? Maybe you've heard about a particular individual over and over and over and over again. You've never seen the individual and you long to put a name to the face, don't you? Sometimes you hear about what somebody's done in the news and it's an awful, heinous, evil deed. And the one thing you want to do is what? See that person, don't you? Who in the world could do such a thing as that? Or maybe there is an athlete who is just a profound athlete, and all of a sudden you hear these marvelous things that they're beginning to accomplish, and the one thing you want to do is just be able to put a face to the name. That's where Zacchaeus is. You see, Jesus had a what? Jesus had a name. Jesus had been involved in his ministry for quite some time now. He'd gone around healing individuals. He'd gone around teaching individuals. He'd gone around stirring up the religious leaders. And Jesus had a name throughout Israel. And all Zacchaeus wanted to do is put a name to a face. Notice what the text says. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. There he is. That's that Jesus. That's that man. Folks, if that's all that he had done that day, he would have been completely satisfied. But there was a restriction, and I sympathize with Zacchaeus. Because the Bible says he could not for the press, because he was of little stature. There were really two problems, weren't there? Number one, there was the horde. The Bible refers to it as the press. It was the multitudes who had gathered to see Jesus. You see, Jesus was a popular individual, wasn't he? And when Jesus entered into Jericho, it wasn't just Zacchaeus who wanted to see him. It was many in the town who wanted to see him. They were lined up like a parade. And here is that little Zacchaeus runs up there, and there's just a multitude of people just as curious as he was. So there was a lot of folks, but he also had a height problem. The Bible says that. He was what? Of little stature. He was vertically challenged. He was not blessed with height. He was a wee little man, as the song says. And because of that, he could not see over the people. A restriction. Folks, this wee little man didn't allow a restriction to hinder him. He found a resolution, did he not? The Bible says this, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree for to see him. That sycamore tree and the climbing thereof took a little bit of effort, didn't it? I don't know how old Zacchaeus was. He was old enough to have a home. He was old enough to be working. He was old enough to have a family. May have required him some effort to climb into that sycamore tree. But he wanted to do it. Why? Because I want to see Jesus. I want to put a face to a name. The sycamore tree. Most refer to it as a fig mulberry. It had a fruit on it like a fig, but it had mulberry leaves. It was the food for the poor of that particular day. Now here's what's interesting. Zacchaeus climbs up into that tree. Remember, he's just a little guy like me. He climbs up into that tree, and all of a sudden, where is he? He is above the crowd, isn't he? Folks, there's a lesson for us. If we will search for solutions, we can overcome our restrictions. Does the church at Oceanside have any restrictions? Oh yeah, we do. I realize that we are in what some might refer to as Jacksonville, sort of, kind of, but not really, right? Atlantic Beach. You know what that means? We're a long way from the interior of Jacksonville. We're right on the beach, folks. Fish don't come to church. You go 3 or 4 miles and you hit the beach, and guess what? There's no people out there, are there? We're limited in the number of individuals that are right here on the beach. Look around about us. We're an older congregation of the Lord's people. We are not a huge congregation. We don't have 2,000 or 3,000 individuals attending every Sunday right now during this COVID-19 mess. We're lucky to get 50 to 55 individuals here. And individuals look around, they see all of these things, and they go, oh, we're just never going to be a big church. There's just nothing we can do. We can't accomplish anything. If Zacchaeus had had that mentality, he would have turned around and gone home that day. You know what? I'm little. I can't see Jesus. I can't see over the crowd. Nobody will let me through. I might as well just go home. That was not his mindset. He turned his restriction into a blessing, didn't he? And he climbed that sycamore tree, and folks, all of a sudden, he towered above the crowd, didn't he? We can let our restrictions defeat us, or we can resolve to overcome them and be what our Lord wants us to be. Point number 4, the call of Jesus. Notice first the request, verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, notice what it says. He looked up and saw him. If Zacchaeus had just been standing in the crowd, would he have seen him? Most likely not. He looks up, the Bible says, and sees him, because he towers above the crowd, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Wow. Here was a man who expected just a glance of Jesus. Isn't that all that he wanted? I just want to see the man. And his glance turned rather into an invitation, did it not? Jesus invites himself into his home. How would you like me to do that? I think I'll just come home with you today. What you got on the table? There's a lesson, folks. Putting ourselves in the right place at the right time can bring blessings to our lives. You know that? And that's what we have to do. We have to constantly be maneuvering. We have to constantly be doing. We have to constantly be finding ways to do things differently. Overcoming our challenge, overcoming those obstacles, putting ourselves in the right place at the right time, and when we do, God can bless us. And we read of the reception by Zacchaeus. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Watch this point, folks. He made no excuses. Now think about it. This man is a what? A publican. He's a part of the Roman government. He's not just a publican. He is the overseer of publicans. He has a big responsibility, a big obligation to take care of. And now all of a sudden Jesus wants to go home with him, and he could have made some excuses, could he not? I got to get back to the office. I just don't have time for this today. Or here's the biggie. Jesus, my wife's not expecting us. And I know if I bring you home, the house won't be clean, and she's going to be very upset with me if I take you home. No excuses whatsoever. Notice that he possessed a good attitude. The Bible says he received him how? Joyfully, did he not? Can you imagine? I just want to see him, and now he wants to go home with me. Here's another lesson. When Jesus calls, Folks, it's time to receive Him immediately. You know that. When Jesus wants to do something with us, guess what? It's not time to make excuses. It's not time to rebel. It's not time to quit. It's not time to sit down. It's not time to do anything but exactly what our Lord wants you to do. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus did. Received Him joyfully. You know, there's always complainers, though, aren't there? And the Bible does not leave out the complaint of the people in verse 7. Notice what it says. And when they saw it, they murmured, saying, "This man is to be the guest of a man that is a sinner." I find it interesting that we now learn how the people viewed who? Zacchaeus, didn't they? A publican. He wasn't upheld. He wasn't honored. He wasn't a man who was highly esteemed. This Jesus, He's going home with a sinner. A man who extorts money from us. A man who steals from us. A man who's a traitor to the Jewish nation. A man who is serving Rome. He's going home with a sinner. You see, though, the people didn't understand Jesus' mission, did they? You know, there's a lot of people complain about others all because they don't understand. And they don't care to understand. What was it that Jesus says? Jesus says that the sick don't need a what? A physician, but they that are whole. Jesus said, "I didn't come to call the righteous unto repentance, but what? The unrighteous." See, Jesus was on a mission, folks. This man who He saw in that tree as a sinner was the very man that He desired to talk to. "This is the very man that I've come to make better." And yet the people what? They all murmured. When you look up that little word, murmured, strong displeasure, constant complaining. I can see Zacchaeus get down out of that tree and off he goes with Jesus, following closely behind Him, and the crowd is still following, aren't they? Can you believe this? He's going home with Zacchaeus. He's going home with that old publican. He's going home with that sinner. I thought Jesus was a holy man. I thought He was righteous. I thought He knew the hearts of men. Why in the world would He want to go home with that kind of an individual? And gripe and complain and gripe and complain and gripe and complain. Constant murmuring through the crowds. Folks, there's some people, they just like to gripe. And they did it with Jesus our Lord all the time. And it didn't matter the motive of Jesus, one iota, they would complain. But fortunately for Zacchaeus, there was a change of heart, wasn't there? Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it fourfold." I don't know how long Jesus was in the house of Zacchaeus. I do know that He was there long enough to do some teaching, don't you? And He was there long enough to make an impact upon this wee little man, wasn't He? Jesus entered that house with a purpose, and that purpose was fulfilled that day. And He brings this man to repentance. And we see evidence of it in two ways. Number one, He's willing to provide relief for the poor. "The half of my goods I give to the poor." I'd like to have seen Zacchaeus' bank account, wouldn't you? How many of you would just like to go home right now and just take half of everything you got and just give it to the poor? Be unbelievable, wouldn't it? But you see, God has a heart for the poor, doesn't He? And I wonder if Jesus entered into the home of this individual and talked about those kind of things. And all of a sudden, Zacchaeus begins to understand what he's done wrong and where he's erred and how he's hoarded all of these goods for himself when in actuality those things could have been used for other individuals. And now he says, Lord, I'll give half of everything to the poor. He's a pretty wealthy individual to be able to do that. Now some might say, well, Vic, he's held back half of what he had. If you've got 2 million and you give up a half, that's you still got 1 million. But he didn't stop there, did he? Notice the restoration. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, to him I restore it fourfold. Wow. We made mention of the fact that extortion was common among these publicans. Go in and get another 5%, 10% extra tax. Zacchaeus says, if there's anywhere along the line that I have extorted from anyone, that I've taken from anyone wrongfully, then guess what I'm willing to do? I'm willing to give back fourfold. Folks, if he had taken a dollar, he gave back four. If he'd taken 10, he gives back 40. If he had taken 100, he gives back 400. 1,000, 4,000. Under the old law, restitution was an essential part thereof. And my friends, it's still a part of repentance today. It's not just being sorry for what you've done, it's also giving back the things that need to be given back. And the law required anywhere from 2 to 7-fold, depending upon what had been taken from another individual. And Zacchaeus says, I'm willing to give back 4-fold of everything. Jesus enters into his house and he's what? A pretty wealthy man, isn't he? Jesus leaves his house. And this one thing I know, he's not half as wealthy as he used to be, is he? But it was a change of heart, not forced on him by Jesus, but made by Zacchaeus. That's repentance. Repentance is a change of mind that what? Leads to a change of action. We get down to verses 9 and 10. And Jesus turns the conversation and speaks about Zacchaeus and then speaks about himself. Notice what he says about Zacchaeus. He recognizes something. And Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house. For this man also is what? A son of Abraham. Zacchaeus' actions brought him salvation. Now remember, Zacchaeus' name means what? Justified. Pure. And finally, his name matches his character, doesn't it? But it wasn't until Jesus entered into his life and entered into his home and entered into his heart that he became who his name says that he is. And folks, when Jesus truly comes into our lives, our homes, our hearts, guess what? Our name will match our behaviors. He's no longer a sinner. But now he's what? Truly a son of Abraham. Look at this. Folks, there's no greater blessing that can come to a home than salvation. No greater. Remember those masses? Griping, complaining, murmuring, talking against Jesus for going into this man's house. Folks, Jesus went into the home of a man who was lost and he left that home and here is a man who is saved. There is no greater blessing than that. Complain all they want. Jesus wrought a mighty work that day in the life of Zacchaeus, didn't he? But notice Jesus now talks about his own responsibility. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Here's was an interesting thought. The man who thought that he was seeking Jesus was really being sought by Jesus. What a coincidence, isn't it? Almost, it's just irony, isn't it? He's just hoping to see him. And he sets his mind to that, does everything he can do, and yet there's another that's seeking after him. There's a lesson. Folks, if you're lost, Jesus is seeking you. Isn't that something? There's not a lost person on earth that Jesus is not after. Not one. This story is composed of a lot of interesting features, isn't it? A popular man enters into Jericho and is thronged by the masses. A very curious tax collector, a publican, longs to see Jesus, longs just to get a glimpse of Him, and that chance meeting turns into a home visit. There's the displeasure of the crowd. How could he go into a home such as that? And yet a soul is saved, isn't it? By a man who's on a mission to save the lost. Children are pretty familiar with this story, aren't they? They sing that little song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree, the Savior, for to see. Oh, I bet we all could just keep singing, couldn't we? And you are in your mind, probably. Folks, here's what we need to understand. Sinners need to understand the story. Not just little children. There's a Savior that longs to see them, isn't there? You see, salvation can come to any person's home through Jesus Christ. But there's a key point that needs to be emphasized. When Jesus comes, repentance is absolutely essential. You hear all these individuals, just accept Jesus in your heart and be saved. Folks, it's not that easy. That's not the only step in the plan of salvation. Do you think Zacchaeus believed in the Christ? Oh, absolutely. But there was more to that. He said, Lord, there's things that I have to do. I've got to give half my goods to the poor. I've got to give restitution to those that I've sinned against. There is repentance in the heart of an individual in order for that individual to be saved. Folks, it is the hardest step in the process of salvation, change. And sometimes, even we, as God's children, don't want to do that, do we? Jesus is seeking those who are seeking Him. James says this, "Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you." Isn't that what happened to Zacchaeus? He did everything he could do to get just as close to Jesus and see Him that day as he possibly could. And what did God do? God drew nigh unto him. But then James says this, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into sorrow." You see, that's what Zacchaeus had to do that day, wasn't it? He could no longer be this man that was rejoicing in his position, rejoicing in his riches. Oh no, he had to be afflicted and mourn and weep. He was brought to repentance that day. But then there's the promise. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will what? Lift you up. That day, that wee little man was lifted up by the Almighty God, wasn't he? truly, he is the son of Abraham, saved under that old covenant because he came in contact with Jesus. Beautiful story that we're all familiar with. Folks, are you doing everything you can do to seek out the Christ? He's searching for you. He's longing for you. If you're not a Christian, you need to be today through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Here's something interesting about Zacchaeus. He was a Jew. He was a member of the covenant, wasn't he? He'd been circumcised on the eighth day. But yet, when Jesus found him, he was what? He was a lost man standing in need of salvation. Sometimes, even God's children need to repent and change their hearts and come back to the Christ. Is there a Christian here who needs to do that? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?